Have you ever been in the zone? No, I'm not talking about the auto parts store or the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea or even the dreaded friend zone with some secret crush. I'm talking about that psychological place where you're so focused on what you're doing that you completely lose track of not just time, but even your own inner sensations like the need for food and water. When we're in the zone, it's what psychological researchers call flow. Flow theory began in the 1970s and 80s when Hungarian psychologist Mihály Csikszentmihalyi became fascinated by artists who were so lost in their creative work that they would lose track of time and even ignore food, water, and sleep. Of course, Csikszentmihalyi didn't invent the idea. He was just the first to notice it and study it from a psychological perspective. On a side note, some researchers say experiences that might also be described as flow go back thousands of years, mostly in religious and spiritual context. They're probably thinking of what Abraham Maslow called a peak experience. Think of the Apostle Paul writing in 2 Corinthians about being, quote, caught up into the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, God knows. Or John writing in the book of Revelations, quote, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a loud voice behind me like a trumpet saying, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. Or even the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel writing, quote, in the 13th year, on the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was among the exiles at the Kibar River, the heavens opened and I saw a divine vision. Now, those are all profound and life-altering moments in which God is doing something very special. As far as the biological response of the human body, those may be similar to being in flow or in the zone, but they are very different experiences in a non-biological sense. So that's not what we're talking about today. The experiences Csikszentmihalyi was trying to understand and describe, those everyday moments of flow, those don't require a vision from God or a divine encounter with the Almighty. Through his research, Csikszentmihalyi noted that it was more than artists who had these flow moments. Similar experiences could be found among scientists and athletes and authors. Even today, athletes often talk about being in the zone. Csikszentmihalyi describes flow as, quote, the state in which people are so involved in an activity that nothing else seems to matter, end quote. He goes on to say that concentration is so intense that there's no attention left over to think about anything irrelevant or to worry about problems. Self-consciousness disappears, and the sense of time even becomes distorted. Now, that description alone shows how it could be easy for the uninitiated to mistake flow with a divine encounter, but you and I know those aren't the same. That said, you have probably experienced flow yourself from time to time without even realizing it. Research has found that there are very real changes in brain activity during flow states, including an increase in dopamine activity. So, flow is the real deal, even if it isn't a spiritual experience initiated by God. Okay, so flow is the real deal, but why does it matter? Well, there are some well-researched benefits to being in flow. For example, researchers say that flow brings about better emotional regulation, greater enjoyment and fulfillment, not just in a task, but in life in general. It brings about greater happiness. You have greater intrinsic motivation. In other words, when we're in flow, we do whatever the task involves simply because it interests us and we find it enjoyable. Have you ever done a job and thought, man, I'd do this even if they didn't pay me? If so, you might have been experiencing consistent and constant flow in that job. The satisfaction from doing the work motivates you to continue. You don't need or care about recognition. It's all about the work. In flow, researchers say you have improved performance in a wide variety of areas, and you have more creativity. You even have faster learning and skill development. Some experimenters have begun exploring the idea that flow can help cut down on the amount of time it takes to improve in a skill. For example, in one marksmanship experiment, novice participants who were guided toward flow-like mental conditions improved on average twice as much as the control group. And finally, and this may be my favorite benefit, increased productivity. In the modern workplace, we know there are just distractions after distractions, from messages to meetings that result in a reduction of your productivity. But get this. In a 10-year longitudinal study, Cranston and Keller showed that people in flow states were, are you ready for this? 500% more productive. So if flow is so great, how can we experience more of it in our lives and in our work? Well, there are some critical conditions of flow. Think of it like this. In the same way that certain conditions are required for water to flow when you turn on your faucet, psychological flow works best under certain conditions as well. First, the task has to be just outside of your grasp while still being close enough that you believe you can actually accomplish it. Flow is the complete immersion in an activity that you deem enjoyable in some way. This doesn't mean that it's not challenging. In fact, the activity must challenge you just enough to push you to test your skills. Csikszentmihalyi says that we're happiest and best when we're pushed and we overcome some kind of obstacle. So, the complexity of the skill must increase to meet the increasing complexity of the challenge in order for you to be in flow. Second, we have to feel as if we're in charge. We have to have a sense of autonomy. A key component of getting into flow is that we've voluntarily accepted the challenge that we're attempting to solve. That's part of what makes it so enjoyable. Being forced to do something kills autonomy. It sucks out the joy, and it stops the flow. Third, we need clear goals and a sense of progress. Csikszentmihalyi says, quote, "Purpose gives direction to one's effort, but it does not necessarily make life easier." Amen to that, right? The very act of having goals means you're likely to encounter hurdles, at which point you might be tempted to just give up and find some less demanding goal. So your goals need to be crystal clear, and it needs to be obvious whether or not you're making progress towards them so that you can easily course correct when needed. Fourth, you need to be able to focus all of your effort and attention on the task at hand. People who experience flow regularly tend to be able to ignore all the irrelevant stimuli in their environments and enjoy themselves in a variety of situations because of their ability to filter out the noise and distractions, including time itself. Vivian Wagner, a Muskingum University professor, says, quote, "Of all the experiences associated with flow, the one that most intrigues me is how my sense of time changes. It's almost as if time itself stops. It warps or alters. Time opens up, slows down, gives space. It truly is a kind of magic," she says. And you probably experienced this yourself, working on something with such focus that you realize time has flown by and you haven't stopped once to do anything else, but you've been super productive. Finally, the task itself has to be intrinsically rewarding in order for flow to happen. Csikszentmihalyi says that in flow, the experience is so enjoyable that people will continue to do it, even at a great cost, just for the sheer sake of doing it. So, if you want to do things like improve your performance or learn faster or be happier or more creative and more productive, then maybe you should give some thought to the conditions that will enable you to get in the zone more often and improve your flow. Remember, a better mind always leads to a better life.